Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donnellan in for Maria Bailey. And since this is the second show I've done in a row, I wanted to assure you Maria is just fine. She'll be back behind the mic next week. She is traveling with her family. And because she has three children in college and one in high school, it only gets busier. So any moms who are at home with little toddlers or even little infants or newborns, please rest assured. I know it's a long day but the days will fly and the years will fly faster. So Maria is traveling with her family. She's actually up in the mountains of North Carolina near Cherokee. So look for her out there fishing. That's one of her favorite sports, or tubing or something, just relaxing. So I was just in the Carolinas for July 4th, and it's so beautiful up there. But Maria will be back, rest assured, and keep track of her and all her activity on her Twitter account at Mom Talk Radio, and of course on Facebook at facebook.com/Mom Talk Radio. So as I said, we have a great show lineup for you, and I'd like to first mention Premama, who is our sponsor of the show. And Premama has a big reveal, and we all know what a big reveal is when you're going to announce your pregnancy or whether you're having a boy or a girl. But in this case, Premama has two new products to add to their already fabulous powdered prenatal vitamins. And so the company that brought you the drinkable prenatal vitamins is introducing two new pill-free solutions for complete maternity wellness. And they're on the shelves at CVS pharmacies now, and they're called Premama Fertility and Premama Lactation. And both formulas are to complement, again, the prenatal vitamin line. So along with the prenatal vitamins, the fertility and lactation are powdered formulas that you mix in your favorite beverage. So they have everything you need. Fertility has myo-inositol and folic acid, the only two ingredients which are great for moms who are trying to conceive. And the lactation formula has all kinds of ingredients that help increase your supply if you're breastfeeding. So check it out at drinkpremama.com. Also follow Drink Premama on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And there's some great products up there that you can check out, and check out the ingredient labels. And they're all doctor approved, vegetarian, gluten-free, and made in the USA. So check it out at drinkpremama.com. So we have a great show lined up in August. I can't even believe it is August already. My kids can't believe it because they go to back to school in about 3 weeks. We start later. We're in Florida. So it's about August 24th they go back, I think. I better double check, right? I've got a lot of supplies to buy. But the back-to-school ads are in the paper and on TV, and it's just overwhelming how fast the summer went. But it is, in addition to back-to-school time, it is also August is National Breastfeeding Awareness Month. And this week, the first week of August is National Breastfeeding Week, Awareness Week. So that ties in with our lactation product, Premama's Lactation, who is a sponsor of the show. And just for the guys out there, as well as the girls who like some beer, August 5th is International Beer Day. So I thought that was kind of funny. So we have a great show lineup. As I said, we've got two great authors who are moms who are going to tell us about their books and what inspired them. And I'm sure it's going to be their entry into parenthood. We're going to talk to a professional about ADHD, a very common issue with our children and a very important one. And then we're going to round out the show with a really important topic, which is about women's health and establishing a routine for an annual checkup to stay healthy. So I do want to give a quick shout out. We appreciate here at Mom Talk Radio all the affiliates. We have a great group of stations that broadcast our show every week. First is WMKT in Petoskey, Traverse City, and Cadillac. If you're in Petoskey, we have very good friends up there, Joan and John Marshall. So they're saying it's been lovely summer. So thank you so much for listening up there in the near the UP of Michigan. And then WECZ in Punxsutawney, serving Johnstown, Altoona, and State College, PA. Thanks all so much for listening. And we will be right back. Our first guest is Kat Ryan, who is the author of Confessions of the Perfect Mom. Let's see if she's perfect.
Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome back. And our first guest is the author of a book called Confessions of the Perfect Mom. And we all strive for that. And I don't know if it exists, but we're going to talk to Kat Ryan. So Kat is a stay-at-home mom and a homeschooling mom to three girls. And before that was a working mom. So she's been back and forth opting out of the work market and opting back in. But you've been teased about being the perfect mom, Kat. Tell us a little bit about that.
I have. It has been one of those things that my friends have teased me about since I had my first. I am one of those moms that my kids are always dressed, their hair done, and I have some sort of baked goods, and we have homemade crafts and things like that, and so they always tease me. But the truth is, there is no such thing as a perfect mom. So what the world sees is not always what's going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we peel back a layer, what do we see going on in your house?
Oh my gosh, it is a house just like everyone else. I have dishes in the sink and at least one child running around without a shirt on and the dog barking in the background.
When did the book come out?
The book actually just came out last week, so I am super excited.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited, and I think everyone's going to just love it.
Tell us a little bit about it. Is it just a how-to? Is it tips? Is it a memoir? What's the genre of the book?
It is my memoirs from my labor and deliveries all the way through about when my girls turned about 5 years old or so. So it's really focusing on those baby years and toddlerhood,
yes. Right.
Learning to talk, potty training, temper tantrums, the type of stories that all moms can relate to for those first couple of years.
Right. Yes. As I said at the top of the show, it's with Maria's out with on vacation with her older kids, but so you think those younger years are going to kill you, but they're precious because, you know, you're home, but it is, the days drag, but the years fly. So tell us a little bit then about what some of your secrets are, what your tips are about for keeping the perfect persona anyway.
Well, I think the tips to keep the perfect persona would just smile, have a good time with it, realize that everything is a phase. So while today might be extremely tough, tomorrow's going to be a new morning. So keep that in mind and have a great glass of wine at the end of the night.
Excellent advice. It sounds too, really, just from your tone of voice to everything. You're just an eternal optimist, which is a great trait to have as a parent.
I think it is one of the most important traits to have as a parent. And that's also going to translate then to your kids' attitudes. If you're the eternal optimist, well, guess what? Your kids are going to be optimistic. They're going to look for the joy in life. They're going to naturally be happier just because that's the example you're setting for them.
Right, right. So let's turn now to your children. You're homeschooling, but you still prepare. That's, to me, that makes you perfect in my eyes, even though, because I just, I contemplated it when my kids were little, but some people just don't have that demeanor, and that is me.
It is definitely not a choice for everyone.
No, that's true. And that's what I finally just forget. Instead, I had to give myself a break and say it just was not for me. What are you doing for the kids over the summer? And then, of course, do you follow a typical school schedule? And are you getting ready for back to school with your girls?
We are. We try to keep really busy during the summer, mostly with reading. I think it's really important that your kids keep reading throughout the summer, that they keep practicing those skills. And, for example, my middle child hates to read, but she loves on plays. So we put on a play every week where she has to memorize lines and design costumes and things like that. So it keeps her really busy. It keeps those reading skills going. And then she gets to perform. So it kind of works on her fear of standing in front of a crowd, which is huge. So it kind of combines everything all into one. Other things that we do to keep busy, my oldest wanted to learn how to cook. So it's really easy just to have her in the kitchen with us and meal plan and help grocery shop and then prepare all those meals. There's a lot of things you can do at home, just incorporating your kids into your daily life that's going to keep them busy and engaged.
My oldest son loves to cook too. So I've gotten to the point, he's a teenager. And I said, look, you'll go with me and you'll shop for the meal. You'll plan the meal and cook it. And he's doing great. And so is
exactly.
I have a 13-year-old. Yeah. So where can our listeners find your book? It's called Confessions of the Perfect Mom. And your website is called confessionsoftheperfectmom.com. So it just released the last few days. So tell us where we can find it.
You can definitely go to my blog, confessionsoftheperfectmom.com. And you'll have the buy links to it. You'll also have all kinds of articles, little things, how to prepare for overnight guests, things like that. Or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Hastings, any of your places where you would typically buy a book, have all of my book as well. So I have Facebook, Twitter, I do Google+, you can find me on Pinterest. Basically, I am everywhere. Just, you know, search for Confessions of the Perfect Mom and you'll find me.
Right. And now, is it hardback, softback? Is it like a guy or a guide? Because you said it's more like a memoir, right?
It is a memoir. So it's kind of my stories, my funny stories as we peel back the layers, kind of my confessions that it is not really perfect and my struggles with the different areas of raising children. I have a very hard time with temper tantrums. I think it happens to everyone at least once. We have a zero tolerance policy when we are out and about. The moment that my kids start to fuss and whatnot, we'll ask them, do you need to go outside? Which is typically not fun. It's going to be where you go outside and you stand and you look at the wall until it has passed.
Right.
And if they don't correct behavior at that first warning, they immediately, you know, we pick up and take them outside, whether we're in a grocery store, we leave the grocery cart, whether we're in a restaurant, we pick them up and go outside. We drop everything, we go outside, and we look at that wall until they're done, which, you know, can take a little bit, and you face them towards the wall and look away, so you're not giving them any attention.
Right.
And then the worst part, when they go back in, they have to then apologize to every single person. So if you leave a restaurant, they have to apologize to every single table for interrupting their dinner. If we're at the grocery store, they have to go around and apologize to all the employees for disrupting their day and throwing a temper tantrum. And after once or twice having to apologize to everyone like that, they stopped throwing that temper tantrum out in public.
I used to take them out, just, you know, make them sit in time out, basically. But the apology part I didn't do. So that's interesting, because then makes them aware of their surroundings, I guess. Is that the point?
Exactly. And then also, you know, the ability to apologize to someone, taking ownership of your actions from a very young age.
Thank you so much, Kat, for joining us again. Confessions of the Perfect Mom. Best of luck with your book. I'll look for it on the shelves. And again, listeners can find it at your website. And we'll have that link up on Mom Talk Radio when we post the show. And when we return, we'll shine the spotlight on moms and another author, Jessica Turner, author of The Fringe Hours. Stay with us. We're shining a spotlight on moms on Mom Talk Radio, and I'm pleased to introduce Jessica Turner, who is also an author of a book called The Fringe Hours, Making Time for You. And I would like to add on a side note that Maria has written a new book focusing on millennial moms, and she has used information from the book that Ms. Turner wrote. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Jessica.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So you're a mom of three, and you've got a little one, 6 months old, and then you have a 4 and a 7-year-old. So you are busy and busy, busy, and you have just written this book.
I am, and I work full-time outside the home. So,
Okay.
Busy,
wow.
Busy
wow.
Is definitely a good word to describe life these days.
Yeah, busy / chaotic. Okay, so I love the Fringe Hours, and I actually, as I edited Marita's book, it's going to come out in a few weeks anyway for our listeners to know, but it was great information, and I'm not going to give it away what the book's about, Maria's book, but you can tell us a little bit about the Fringe Hours. What made you write that book and come up with the idea? I know as moms, Fringe Hours, that what we do in the Fringe Hours are, you know, is crucial for our well-being. So tell us a little bit about what made you write the book.
Yeah, so many women ask me, how do I do it all? How am I finding time for blogging on the Mom Creative and working full-time and still doing photography and scrapbooking and parenting and having a healthy marriage and all of those things? And the answer really was the Fringe Hours, that I was using these pockets of time that often go underused or wasted altogether, and I was harnessing them for things that I was passionate about. And so decided to write The Fringe Hours and did some research so that it wasn't just my story. This was really, I wanted it to be a book that was going to resonate with women married, single, kids, no kids, and surveyed more than 2,000 women about how they spend their time, what they're passionate about, what their struggles are, and use that data as foundation for The Fringe Hours. So the book really speaks to women of right where they're at. How do we find that time? How do we overcome those feelings of guilt and comparison for why we're not making time for ourselves? And then how to maximize that time.
Right. So you say you interviewed 2,000 women for the book.
I surveyed 2,000 women.
Surveyed,
I didn't do one-on-one interviews, but I did
have an online
survey that people filled out and had more than 500 pages of comments on it that I've read through and incorporated into the book, and then did about 50 one-on-one interviews with them and really kind of diving into the research a little further from it. And so that was a big piece because, you know, my story as a mom of three working, you know, outside the home in Nashville is going to be different than, you know, a mom in Nebraska who's maybe a stay-at-home mom. And so I really wanted the book to be reflective of all of those different types of moms and women out there. And I think that the survey helped for that to happen.
Right, right. So you got the 50 were more like the one-on-ones, anecdotal, a little more in-depth,
Which
sounds great. Because you're right, it's not... It definitely depends, I think, on geographic region as well, you know, how not even just seasons and weather, you know, but, you know, how you get around and what's available to you. And, you know, especially as moms, as we all know. So do you, when you talked about the fringe hours being hours we don't realize or don't take advantage of, is it different for everyone? Or did you find through your research that it was like certain hours of the day that you say kind of just went to waste?
Sure. You know, it depends on the woman. I think typically early morning hours are a great opportunity for women to take time for themselves, you know, to not wake up at the same time as their kids, but 30 to 60 minutes before and have some time then. On average, people wait 45 to 60 minutes a day. And so those times of waiting, if you're prepared with a book or with knitting or, you know, with some cards to write, that you can use that time of waiting instead of scrolling on your iPhone to, you know, do a little reading on your Kindle app or something like that. Evenings when kids go to bed, how are you using that time? Are you just sitting watching television, or can you do something that's a bit more intentional and really fulfilling a passion of yours? So I recommend that women track their time over the course of a week and see where their time is being spent. And oftentimes that can have some light bulb moments for women of, gosh, I could be using this time in a better way, or maybe I need to say no to this activity so that I can create margin in my life and really do a better job of taking care of myself.
Absolutely. So that's actually a great idea, is to go ahead and make a schedule and just kind of fill in what you've been doing certain times, and you see maybe there's something that jumps out. Mine is the carpool line. I basically then read my book of the day or a week that I'm reading, or for my book club. So my carpool line is anywhere between 30 and 45 minutes during school anyway. So that's where I find a little time to make for me. So thank you so much, Jessica. So where can our listeners find your book?
They can find it pretty much anywhere books are sold. Amazon, Target, Books a Million, you name it, it's available. FringeHours.com lists all of that information. And you can find me on themomcreative.com.
Okay, great. So good luck. Have a great rest of the summer. On Twitter, you're also at Jessica N. Turner. And again, that's the Fringe Hours.
Jessica N. Turner. That's right.
Yeah, and that's the Fringe Hours, making time for you. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with the book. And when we return, we're going to talk about a serious subject, which is ADHD, with Dr. Dale Archer. Stay with us.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
This is Mary and for Maria on Mom Talk Radio, and we're going to switch subjects to a very important one that affects a lot of children and even adults, and it's ADHD. And I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Dale Archer, who has a lot of experience, almost 28 years in a private psychiatric practice. And Dr. Archer has just written a book. It just released today, so this is actually an awesome day for him. It's called The ADHD Advantage: What You Thought Was a Diagnosis May Be Your Greatest Strength. And I love that title. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Archer.
Great to be here.
Thank you. So I have a family member very close to me that has ADHD diagnosed in second grade. So I'm very, very curious about this topic, as well as I'm sure many listeners. What are the numbers in the U.S. of children affected by ADHD?
Well, the numbers are confusing when you look at them, because the latest survey came out saying that 11% of American kids between the ages of 5 and 17 have the diagnosis. When you look at adults, i.e. those over 17, it's pushing 5%, about 4.8%.
Right.
But when you look around the U.S. as a whole, it becomes confusing, because if you look at Nevada, They have a 5.8% incidence. If you look at my home state of Louisiana, we're at 16%. So this speaks to a very, very subjective diagnostic set of criteria. And I think that's a big part of the problem that we're facing.
Right, right. And how I also probably is access to resources, et cetera, reporting, that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, there's a whole host of things that would go into it. If this is a true brain condition, which we know genetics play a role in ADHD, then we would expect it to be uniform across the country and across the world.
Right.
But when you have a disparity with three times more cases diagnosed in Louisiana versus Nevada, that's screaming, well, wait a minute, there's something going on here. There's something not right. It can't be that much of a difference from state to state. So
right.
There's something wrong. And in my opinion, it's the diagnostic criteria, which are subjective criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem mm-hmm. starts.
Right, exactly. So let's get then to, so you've written enough about, you've been well published on this subject of ADHD. So your newest book, again, congratulations on the release this week. What you thought was a diagnosis may be your greatest strength. You claim that ADHD can be described as a diagnosis of boredom. Can you explain that?
The easiest way to explain ADHD to the general public is that these brains become very easily bored with routine tasks and repetitive tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So what could be more boring than sitting in a classroom for 8 hours a day
right.
and learning a bunch of subjects, which you really have very little interest in? So
correct.
For the average student, that's boring. But for the ADHD brain, that becomes almost insurmountable. It just becomes
yes.
up to the point where, you know, I'll do anything. Let me self-stimulate somehow. And, of course, that often leads to the behavioral problems that we see.
Right. So then you also say, and as part of your description, it's like having bingo brain, which is a great description, like just the bingo, you know, when you're twirling the little cage and everything's bouncing around in there.
Yeah, that was coined by one of the guys, Bruce Sanders, an attorney that I interviewed for the book, and he coined that mm-hmm. term. And I think that sums it up. Yeah, you have thoughts that are just bouncing around and they come out randomly. But the interesting thought is, when we analyze that, these thoughts usually have some type of connectivity through there. And it's also felt that this is the basis for nonlinear thinking, which is the basis for creativity. So
right.
even though on the
exactly.
surface it sounds like this is bad, but there's a silver lining to it if you know where to look.
Right. So that's... And you can even look at the people who have ADHD and they're extremely successful. So where do you look and how do you almost train an ADHD brain to harness the creativity? Yeah, I guess harness it or funnel it so that it's not a destructive thing as much as it's just something you can really make it into an asset or a strength.
Well, you know, all of the individuals I interviewed for the book, and there were dozens of them, and they were all very successful in a variety of fields. You know, we had well-known individuals like Howie Mandel, Ty Pennington, David
right.
Neelman, founder of JetBlue. But we also had regular folks as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the one key when you look at the successful ADHDer is that they will say to a person, they're successful not in spite of their ADHD, but because of their ADHD. Because of the inherent strengths that go along with it, like resilience and creativity and the ability to hyperfocus, cool in a crisis, being great at multitasking, high energy, intuitive, athletic, the list
right.
goes on and on and on. So we say ADHD is a diagnosis, and we focus on the two double Ds, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder. You have a deficit, you have a disorder, oh, that's all bad. You're going to have to take a pill
right.
in order
that's
to
true.
Overcome that, and you're still probably not going to have a happy life. Yet all of these folks are examples that, you know, when you build your life around your strengths and don't focus on the weaknesses, you can do pretty well.
And does your book cover that? It sounds like it does. Everything, you know, almost like does it have strategies for parents, let's say, of how you, like you said, focus on your strengths and play up the strengths of an ADHD?
You know, the strategies for the parents really are coming from cutting-edge school systems like Beacon Hill in Boston and the mm-hmm. Fusion Academy around the country. And basically, these schools, and they're private. So, I mean, the downside is they are expensive. Though fortunately, mm-hmm. they are reaching out to the public schools in order to share their techniques. But the whole key is that they're incredibly successful working with these kids. But it's a different track. It's a different way of learning. So it's more hands-on. And their class periods are much shorter. So you do repeated 15-minute classes with a break in between. You throw exercise in there because we know that the ADHD brain really does help stimulate the focusing ability when you throw a little physical activity in there, when most schools are, of course, cutting PE out completely.
Right, so unfortunately,
systems are teaching us, you know, when it comes to doing homework, you do 15 minutes at a time and then you repeat until you're done. Don't force a child to do 2 hours of history when their brain is bored to death with it. So
right,
there are all kinds of strategies that go along with how our brains work and how we learn.
Right, right. So where can our listeners find your book then? It literally just hit the bookshelves, correct?
It hit
or
the
online?
Today, so it should be available at all the brick-and-mortar stores. Online, it's in BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com, Amazon.com. If they want more information, they can go to my website, Dr. Dale Archer, or have a good conversation about the book and the advantages on my Facebook page, which is also Dr. Dale Archer, and I answer all questions there. So,
wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us and for providing great information, and best of luck with the book. And again, that's drdalearcher.com, D-R-D-A-L-E, Archer, as in an archer. And that link will be up on Mom Talk Radio next week when the show is posted. And when we come back, we're joined by Robert Buettner, who is the author of another best-selling, award-winning book called Orphanage. We'll be right back.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
Our next guest on Mom Talk Radio is Robert Buettner, who is a best-selling novelist and has written 9 books, and several of them have been award-winning. So we'll talk to Mr. Buettner. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, it's great to be with you, Mary. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So your Quill Award book was Orphanage, and it was actually called The Post-9/11 Generation Starship Troopers and has been adapted for a film. So that's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about what you think of a woman's role in a lot of the action movies and as an action hero.
Since 9/11, I've been writing novels that are set in the future, and they appeal to the 98% of Americans who don't know the military as much as they appeal to the 2% of Americans like me who have lived it either through their own life experience or that of a spouse or a parent. And my books have always featured strong female characters. For example, my most recent novel is Balance Point, and that features a female sniper and her male spotter. And over the years, the number of young women that I meet at science fiction conventions and to sign books and so on, who admire those females as role models, has really skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
And to such an extent, I think that it's time that I have a talk with American parents about that.
Okay, so most parents and moms, of course, would say that we like strong female characters. So do you disagree with that? Are we saying, you know, we want to push them back into traditional roles?
No, not at all. First, let's talk about what hasn't changed. Now, real admirable female action heroes have been with us since Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm.
They've been with us in pop science fiction at least since Sigourney Weaver in the Aliens films of the 1980s,
right.
Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2 in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
But today, you probably can't name one female actress who hasn't kickboxed a half dozen bad guys then finished out the scene with a wisecrack. It's kind of a resume must-have now.
Okay.
Now, to a degree, that's argumentating life, because we've come a long way since I trained as a military intelligence officer, and the class that I was in of 60 included female officers for the first time.
Right.
Today, we've had female boots on the ground in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Even have female boots in infantry ranger training, which is the absolute tip of the spear today. And my question, though, is whether the result of that emphasis in film particularly on the female action hero is replacing the old Barbie doll figure stereotype and the damsel in distress stereotype with a heroine stereotype that's mm-hmm. just as unrealistic. And
so you think there's somewhere in the middle?
I think there is, but it's not really so much a question of what's in the middle. It's mm-hmm. more a question of letting your child seek the thing that they want to do. Most of us will do well what we want to do.
Right.
And for a mom, the important thing is to know your child. Notice what your child wants to do. Identify your child's appropriate passions.
Right. And that goes for boys or girls, really. But I see what you're saying with the girls.
And that's exactly true, yeah. And right. and nurture those passions. And I should add a little context to my little bit of advice there. And okay. the first word that needs context is appropriate passions. You know,
right.
if little Ethan sets fire to the neighbor's cat, don't buy him a kitten and a box of matches.
No, right.
You know?
Right. Little Ethan's in trouble,
Yeah, and the second word that needs context is to nurture.
Right.
That means encourage, facilitate. It doesn't mean build your daughter's soapbox derby car for her while she sits on the sofa playing Candy Crush.
Right.
So there are so many things like that that I think we have to do with raising kids. And,
right. So we only have another minute left, and I'm intrigued by your books because you say you have strong action, strong female characters. So just one more tip for moms with whose daughters may look up to those contemporary action heroes that are women.
Well, I would say one more tip would be that you could go have a look at some of my books. I think that they treat those topics in more multidimensionally than you might get them mm-hmm. from the movies. And,
right.
And they can find my books anywhere books are sold.
Right.
And they're available as physical books. They're at brick-and-mortar stores. They're available electronically through Amazon
and
for all of the popular web book formats and
mm-hmm.
also as audiobooks.
Okay.
And you can find out more about it at my website, which is my name, robertbuettner.com.
And it's Buettner. I'm going to spell that for our audience. It's BUETTNER.com, first name Robert. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Buettner, and good luck with your books. And your link to your website will be up on Montauk Radio next week. And when we return, we're going to wrap the show by talking to Kim Stebbings about women's health and the importance of checkups and seeing your doctor. Stay with us. Wrapping up a great show today by talking to Kim Stebbings, who is the U.S. president of Dices Medical, and we're going to talk about the importance of regular checkups and pap smears for your health. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Kim.
Thank you, Mary.
So this is such an important topic, and I know you can cover it as well as some new technology that's on the scene now. So let's talk about pap smears. You're supposed to get one how often?
Well, actually, the guidelines have changed recently. And
oh, really?
If you haven't had an abnormal pap smear, you can increase the intervals between pap smears to 3 years. And they also recommend that you also have an HPV test, and that mm-hmm. is a test for the virus that actually causes cervical cancer.
Right.
And it's more sensitive than a pap smear, so they're actually recommending a combination with a pap smear unless you're under 30, and then pap smear with HPV as a reflex test if it's abnormal. So it's very interesting. Things have changed, but all for the better, because it means maybe less visits to the doctor, but mm-hmm. more accurate screens. And that will hopefully detect people who do have abnormalities.
Right. So you're saying because of the more sensitive tests and basically, you know, better results. That's why they increased, because it used to be every year, didn't it? The annual exam
every year.
Schedule?
We did it for years. And what they found is if you've had normal pap smears for a long time, it's not necessary. If you've had an abnormal pap smear or certain types of HPV types, then you may have to do it more frequently. And your doctor will know, and that's definitely who you should listen to. But the screening guideline intervals were increased about 3 years ago.
Okay.
So what's really important is if they're abnormal, is that you get additional testing. And this is very important. One of the things that is done typically if you have an abnormal screen is to have something called a colposcopy. And that is it's a procedure that's done using a special piece of equipment that is like a pair of binoculars with a magnifier on it, and it helps the doctor to see abnormalities. The challenging thing with colposcopy is it is very subjective, and typically the way it's done is they put on a solution and then watch to see if it interacts with the tissue and turns white, and this procedure is called aceto-whitening. However, because it is a visual procedure, it's not very sensitive, and it can miss up to 50% of high-grade lesions. So it's time for a change, and that is what DISIS Medical is all about. It's just a next-generation colposcope that helps doctors image the cervix and actually create a color-coded map.
So, Kim, how does a color-coded map work?
Well, it's similar to a weather map. If you've seen a Doppler map, it's the red and yellow and white areas are the areas where the storm is. And this map is exactly the same.
Oh, interesting.
So when the doctor sees those red, yellow, and white areas, even if they're very small, it helps them pinpoint where the abnormalities may be. So when they do take a biopsy, they make sure they get the worst area of the cervix. And that's the beauty of it. It just helps guide them and gives them more information than they can currently see with the naked eye.
Right. So is this DISIS Advanced Cervical Imaging System, is it available at all doctor's offices, or is it just specific? You'd have to ask your doctor if it's available, that kind of thing, because it sounds much more, as you said, much more specific.
Yeah, it's only been in the U.S. for about a year. It's widely available in Europe, but it is in about 40 cities across the country, and over 200 doctors offer it in their practices. So you can find a site at DISISMedical.com, our website, in the patient area. And that area will give you the different states and cities where this is located.
Okay, great. And that's DISISMedical.com, correct?
That's correct.
Great. Thank you so much. That's really, the fact that technology just is advancing so rapidly and just, you know, obviously for the benefit of women's health is so awesome. So congratulations on a great product and advancement to help women. And we thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio. Again, you can find links to this segment as well as other segments at momtalkradio.com and on our Facebook page at Mom Talk Radio, and follow Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and happy August. Talk to you next week.